Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
So this is one of those nice November days where there isn't the one cloud that can turn, you know, a nice, easy, playable, even golf playable November day into, no, I should be skiing right now because it's 20 degrees colder when one cloud enters the equation.
Yeah.
Today is one of those good November days.
A little windy.
Sure, you can always find the negative.
Yeah.
I think it's not quite cold enough for you to be able to justify wearing the sweater and the scarf. You're trying to make a statement.
I got to be me, baby. I got to be me.
How about Ross? Yeah. Ross Tucker, militantly anti-sweater.
Yeah.
I think we just sort of drew that out of him.
Yeah, I agree. I don't wear sweaters anymore, mostly because coming in here, it's pointless.
That's right. It's too hot in here.
And, you know, so just sort of I've fallen out of the habit. In fact, I haven't even, the way my clothes are stored, the closet, it can get dusty in there. Like if stuff doesn't get worn for, you know, like, well, sweaters, for instance, I have to launder them before I start wearing them. Otherwise, I start sneezing and get all stuffed up. Like there's just some fine dust that is in that closet that comes through a vent or something in there, and it just is a problem. I haven't even done that yet. I mean, we're into sweater season, but I don't wear them.
No. The sweatshirt over the T-shirt, easily the way to go. The jacket over the T-shirt.
It's all you need.
Ross makes a fair point about jackets, though.
Yeah.
He's like, I need it for that 7 seconds from walking from my house to my car.
I did today.
he's right about that.
I put it on. I did.
And then there's, you know, whatever, however many seconds it is to go from your car to wherever your destination is.
Right.
Here,
right.
Work.
Yeah.
That's another 30.
Yeah. I went jacket.
Well, here
no
come.
No scarf, though.
No scarf.
Not
That's,
yet.
Let's just be honest about it. I just made that up. The Chiefs, so one of your many calling cards is being able to dredge up hate for the other team. And it used to be just the head coach, but you've sort of walked away from that. You've stepped away from just making it about. Once we got to Jonathan Gannon, you know, like I don't really want to just figure out a way to hate Jonathan Gannon. I'm not even sure I know who he is. You know, that was week one. So Andy Reid.
he's a very hard guy to dredge up hate for. I'm more envious of him. Like I it's easier for me to just sort of hate the whole production because they're so good, and we can't seem to beat them when it really matters, and so I get sort of sick of that. But I'll tell you honestly, you know what works against me dredging up disdain for the Chiefs is the insanity about people complaining about them getting all the calls.
I know.
Like, I just can't, I don't want to sound like I'm with those people, because I think those people are the biggest donkeys that I've ever lived. And so, well, I mean, maybe not the biggest donkeys, but I think you're...
Donkey draft.
I think you're a pretty big donkey. If
reverse
you're
like, donkey rankings.
You know, the guy yesterday, Taylor Swift and all that. Like, oh my God. Like, I don't know what to do with you.
I thought he was right.
Oh yeah, good.
Well,
good to know.
If can I say now?
Sure.
In a small way, he went into so many different areas. I never got a chance, but of course, if you follow sports, you know that the great players, the best teams and players, get the calls, and that's not a conspiracy. That's not because, like I did say to the guy yesterday, if this whole idea that the NFL wants the Chiefs to win, you'd want to make it close at least. You want to make it interesting. And I guess they're doing that, right? That's what you're going to tell me is they're all close games.
I'm not going to tell you anything.
You wouldn't want them to win every week. You'd want, you'd want drama more like last year,
yeah,
where they struggle and they win. But that's Michael Jordan. You know, that's how it goes in sports. The great players get the close pitches. They get the fouls or the non-calls, and whatever it is you want to say about Kansas City, there probably is some truth to that because they have been so successful, and it's harder, just subconsciously, it's harder to throw the flag.
Sure.
It shouldn't be, but it is.
Yeah, I don't dispute that. I think whoever is that team is going to get that treatment in any sport.
Why he freaks out about Kadarius Toney being called for that offside stems from that. And you can hate him for that. And, he was a big baby.
Yeah, he was.
But he is used to a certain treatment, and I think it makes sense. I'm not saying it's right or he's entitled or anything, but I think it does make sense because I think that is a real thing in sports. And you want that for the Bills. I don't know. Like, maybe we're blind to it, or maybe it's just not there. But
yeah,
we might be blind to it in certain of their games because we are just not wired to, we're wired to complain. And so if the Bills get calls, like, we're not even going to notice it.
Right.
Maybe.
Right. I always try to point out when a call that is bad goes against their opponent just for the sake of it. But I don't think anyone remembers. It's like going for a fourth down that you make. That's not a story. It's a story if you miss, right? So it goes your way. It's just like, well, yeah, of course that was a good call. That's just, people, look, I'm not here to take that away from you. You should be, to some extent. I mean, you're fans. You don't have a responsibility to be objective. You just have to love your team and hate who they're playing, and that's fine. But when it rises to the level of people that I consider even friends and, not very undonkey-like, that are telling, trying to convince me that, like, there is, you're missing it. Like, I don't know what to do. So, I just have no idea how to console them or try to tell them, like, what are we even doing here? Why do you even care if it's all rigged? I know, you're trying to call attention to it. Okay, good luck. Anyway, so that sort of gets... That gums up the works for me a little bit, right? Like, I used to enjoy hating on Kelce because I just thought he came off kind of like a wannabe wrestler when he talked to the media and always yelling and like this sort of faux tough guy stuff. But now he's dating Taylor Swift and people hate him for that, and I don't want to hate him for that. I don't care about that. If anything, I want to support it. So now I don't feel like I want to get the bows and arrows out for Travis Kelce anymore because he's getting it from people who think, the whole thing is rigged because of her. And I just can't even deal with that. I'm sorry I keep talking about this, but it is Chiefs week. So I'm just all tangled up on them. I'm tired of them dominating. I really want them to lose. I want the Bills to beat them every time they play them. But they also, to me, are to be respected and admired and envied.
This is just sickening to hear.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm letting everyone down, I think.
I think one of the things that makes, especially if the Bills are close, this could have been true of Brady, but the Bills weren't that close. Maybe it's the same. Maybe it's even like more sort of like you notice it more now with Kansas City. Mahomes and Kelce and Reed are always in your face on commercials during game day. Like, it's the insurance, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not going to say it. Just like Mahomes, I'm not going to say that. And the soup and everything, like, they're just kind of, they're omnipresent in and out of games you're watching where they're not playing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just normal for championship teams.
Yep.
When it happened with Mayfield, this came up yesterday, he was playing for the Browns. Like, that was a little bit not normal. Because what had he actually done? He was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Allen's had his turn.
It helped that the company that he was doing those ads for had their name on the stadium that he played in. Like, that was the relationship there, I think.
Cleveland?
You know, yeah. Progressive was the ad campaign, and that was their stadium for a while.
The baseball park.
Oh, I guess that's right. They were big in Cleveland. Yeah, the football stadium wasn't named that, now that you mention it. But I think they had a home base in Cleveland.
I just have to go back in time and go into insurance.
Anyway, I don't know.
Insurance companies seem to do well with how many millions they spend on ads at every game and drugs. So, I mean, that's part of it, isn't it? That you're a little bit jealous of the way that the Super Bowls kind of afford the players on the team, the stars of the team, that much more recognition and notoriety.
Right, and that only adds to the idea that, of course, they're getting the breaks because they're like the faces of the league, which, you know, I get that. And, you know, the best players do get breaks. But, you know, the idea of it raising to the level of like a league-wide edict or something is just, to me, insane. And I think to you, and I think to most people who aren't completely around the bend about it. But sure, look, the Bills, you know, Kansas City's not some metropolis, you know,
right,
like New York or you know, bigger markets. You know, if the Bills were riding three Super Bowls in 5 or 6 years or whatever it is, and Allen was the MVP twice already, I think he'd be in all those ads. He's in a fair amount of stuff himself as it is without that, but you don't get that treatment until you're the king of the hill. And, like, indisputably the king of the hill, not just, like, a one-off. And the Chiefs have had staying power. So, of course, they're a brand that is everywhere because, well, they're dominant.
What actually is a better story this year in football? If they win again or if they don't? Like, what's the most interesting Chiefs storyline this year? I think it's if they lose.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
New England was so good. That 17-0 season, which maybe Kansas City is en route to, the fact that they lost in that Super Bowl, was really like incredible and so interesting. Wait, Rob Gronkowski is on the Westher hotline again. I have to make sure. I have to make sure. I have to be careful here. I don't want to start something. 2 days in a row. Wow. But like, it's what do you watch sports for? You say you're not a fan of either team, really. You know, you're a Carolina Panthers fan.
Whatever. Oh, I'm so sorry.
And you've got the Chiefs and the Bills, or the Chiefs and the Ravens, whatever it is. Even the Chiefs and the 49ers, if you want. The 49ers have lost two very close Super Bowls to Kansas City. Isn't it better if they lose? And that, I don't want to indulge the rigged people either, but wouldn't that make sense? That like it's a better, it's a more interesting league to watch, and it's a more interesting storyline going forward. What do you want next year if you're the NFL? If you really were writing a script, you would want the Kansas City script to be, can they come back and win after losing to somebody? If it's the Bills, then we talk about how really actually the Bills have been kind of right at their level for these years, and this time they won. That's the Patriots-Colts comparison. That's more interesting. If they win a third in a row, that's history, but it just makes next year the same.
Yeah.
And it gets boring after a while.
Yeah, I think a distinction I would make is, like, what's the best outcome? Like, what's the best script? I think Kansas City shooting for undefeated is that. If they go and win it a third time in a row while being undefeated, that's unprecedented and incredible. And that, to me, is the best story you could have. So, you know, have at it, conspiracy theorists. But I think if they lose a game here Sunday or anytime between now and the playoffs, then I think it becomes somebody else that hasn't had a turn yet. Detroit, Buffalo, and sure, am I objective about that? I mean, I can try my best. I think that could work for the Carolina fan. Like, just somebody else, and, you know, somebody that's been downtrodden, somebody that's never really had, you know, that kick at it. I mean, Detroit has never even been there, so they outrank the Bills even in that way, unless, you know, you think losing four times in a row is somehow, you know, feels worse than never being there, then maybe you could argue that the Bills are the better story. But I think the Bills or the Lions become the heartwarming football story if the Chiefs lose a game along the way. That's not to say everybody will fall in line and root for the Chiefs, but from a interest and a story perspective, them chasing perfection and trying to win an unprecedented third in a row is hard to beat. I mean, I think objectively that's hard to beat.
I mean, they're not going to go undefeated.
I think that's probably right.
They stink.
Sure they do.
Right? Look at these games. Look at these box scores. They're definitely not going. They have eight games left, and they can't. They should have lost last week. They should have lost three by now, probably. What's their Pythagorean bulldog? You look at that stuff. It's not going to be 9-0. It's going to be more like 7-2, if even that. I'm saying.
I'll bet it's 6-3.
It is 6.1 to 2.9. It is 6-3 by the point differential. That's the record they should have. 6-3.
Yeah,
which is what.
That would be
Atlanta's record. I mean, I don't know.
Right. That's the Chargers' record.
The Chargers' record.
They'd be tied for the division.
Another close
lead.
Win.
Right.
Well, I think I would want, if I were writing a script, the AFC Championship I'd want is Bills Ravens, because then I've got I had last year for Mahomes climbing the ladder, you know, on the road, and then winning it all, and that was, you know, really honestly, that was pretty insane. And it elevated the Chiefs to a very high level in NFL history, winning 3 and 5 and going to 4 out of 5 and back to back. They go down as one of those teams. Nobody's ever won 3 in a row. So I had last year for that. This year, it's interesting that they're good and that they're in it, but I don't need to write the same story. I don't need people to watch the same movie. You know, it's not more interesting, maybe slightly more interesting this year because of the historical aspect of things, but I would want them to get knocked off, like which happened to Brady's teams. And, you know, the Ravens would go to New England and win in the playoffs a couple times, and the Colts, you know. So I'd want that. And then I could have, don't we want We should have had it last year, maybe, almost did. But don't we want a Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson championship game? You know, there's the MVP race this year. There was the one playoff game in the wind that the Bills won. So there's at least that. But I think that's the best for the script this year would be somebody beats Kansas City, whoever it is, one of these two teams or someone else, and you get to the AFC Championship, and it's these two quarterbacks who have both been, or it's Burrow. It's the two of the guys that have been unable to crack the Kansas City wall. And this year we know one of them will. And so who will be that team? Because the loser of that game goes, it's never going to happen for me. Like, this was my chance.
Right.
Which is probably how, I don't think Allen or the Bills, but this is probably how Baltimore felt last year. Like, that was really their year.
Yeah.
Home field, one win away, and they just couldn't get it. And, you know, they're back this year, and Jackson is even better so far right. This year. That's the story I think I want.
Yeah.
And then Detroit on the other side is fine.
I usually do not fall for I want to beat the king to be the king type stuff. But I usually, you know, I don't need Tom Brady to be playing when New England comes here, you know, going back here. Like, just give me the easiest path to another win, at least in the regular season. I feel with how this has gone here since 2020 with the Bills and the Chiefs, and we'll see, you know, we got another chapter coming on Sunday afternoon. I feel like it, for me, right, sitting here right now, I reserve the right to change my mind about this. Not having to beat the Chiefs to get there. And you didn't exactly say that. You said Ravens, Bills, somebody has beaten the Chiefs already. I think I really need it to be us. I think I need it to be the Bills. I just feel like if they do it, we'll have the parade and nobody is going to be putting asterisks on it or anything. I mean, it's not going to happen. But I need to see the Bills beat that team in the playoffs. I think I need it. At this point, I need them to prove that they can do it. And if they get through somehow without having to do it, it will still be incredible. It would be, of course, you know, like, yay, we did it. I just feel like it's tastier if you knock them off after all this. Like, I feel like I need to see the Bills take them down in January in order for me to be completely fulfilled here. I mean, I know that sounds insane.
Oh,
I'm parsing out how I want them to win a Super Bowl,
yeah.
Which, you know,
I'm too old for that.
Which is why I usually push against it, but I don't know. As you're talking over there about Ravens-Bills, I'm just sitting here going, I need to see them leave the field in a playoff game victorious over that team. And I might even tell you, I need that to be, you know, the AFC Championship and the confetti and the whole thing, like the scene, you know, remember the picture of Diggs standing there watching the celebration? Like, I need Kelce or Mahomes to be doing that, maybe in their own stadium.
But it wouldn't be the same because of their wins already. You know, I mean, these are serious people, and it's not going to be like they're okay with losing, but it's different when you've won before.
Sure.
You know, three times.
Sure.
So you're saying you would not take a Bills Super Bowl win over Arizona 2-0 because Murray fumbled five times? You would not take that?
I did not.
That's not a real win.
I did not say I would not take
championship.
That. I'm just saying to be to tick all the box, check all the boxes. I need to go through the Chiefs.
I don't need boxes.
Yeah.
Well, really.
Good for, I'm glad you're
don't care
not
about
as
it.
Not as weak as me.
Don't care about boxes. Yeah. Just get it home. So today we have Matt Verderam joining us, SI, Chiefs guy, but, you know, covers the whole league. We'll get his perspective on Sunday. We've been talking for a couple days off and on about how important the game is to the Bills, to either team, mentioning Ross Tucker from earlier. I know that we can really only think about what he thinks about sweaters, but he did say that it really just was not that big a game. To the Bills specifically, mm-hmm. He said, yesterday because of the whole point that it's going to have to come down to what happens in the playoffs, which we know. That's kind of been my attitude this week, is I just want to enjoy this week, which I am.
Yeah.
I'm loving, you know, waking up in the morning and thinking about, I'll take as much time as you want to get me to Sunday because it's just fun to look forward to anticipate. And, you know, there's really, a loss doesn't really kill you or at all. So I think it's kind of a fun, exciting, but casual sort of week.
Yeah, even Josh Allen today made some passing reference to
Ross.
Not to Ross, nor Sweaters, nor Gronk calling our show yesterday. You know, someone, you know, asking him, complimenting him for playing well against the Chiefs and you know, putting up numbers in, you know, and winning these regular season games. And Allen said something to the effect of, you know, yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, that's great and everything, but, you know, we got to do it when it matters the most, or something along those lines. Like he alluded to not being able to beat them in January.
It would be weird if he said, like,
yeah,
you know what? Thank you, because nobody ever talks about how we have beaten them.
I'm so happy.
And that would be laughed at.
Right.
You know, like, no, he's got the right perspective about it. I believe him. We will talk to Sal today. The injury report is long. It was just a walkthrough today, so I don't know. Sal will tell us what he thinks is right to sort of take away from the list. Cooper, Kincaid, Spencer Brown. Sal talked to Spencer Brown. And late in the show, Paul Hamilton. There's some Sabres news with injuries. And James Reimer, longtime Sabres fan favorite, James Reimer, is back in the organization being claimed off of waivers. We'd love to hear from you next, 803-0550, what the best script is for this season, Bills, Chiefs, anything in or around it. We'll look for your calls after this break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.